There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
He's played it, Otis. He's played it, and it's a big mistake.
Knight H3.
He spotted it. Yeah.
For Ronian, it's been a remarkable tournament, but unfortunately for him and all of his fans, it ends. And there you go, he resigned.
And for Arjun Aragaisi, he goes one step closer, straight to the quarterfinals.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Fabiano's Masterclass. And I know you guys have been enjoying this type of breakdowns of critical games from important events. And of course, we're going to stay with the World Cup in this one because we have so many games that we can choose from. And in this one, Fabi, you chose a game, a decisive game between Levon Aronian with the white pieces and Arjun Aragaisi. Why did you choose this one? You've had so many games to choose from, but why is this one special?
Well, there are just too many games in general. There's going to be so many great ones, so many interesting ones. But this game is interesting most of all from the tournament point of view, because you have two of the favorites playing their match. And two guys who are very capable of winning the entire World Cup. And definitely very capable of qualifying to the candidates. This was the second classical game. I think we're going to go through it a bit more quickly, not going super into depth of all the variations, but just to basically get a feel for the game. See what went wrong for Levon, because it was a sharp fight, similar to their first game. And it's always difficult to know. Do you go for a sharp fight? Do you take it to tie breaks? Do you play safe? Of course, Levon could have forced a draw, but he decided to play a sharp fight. He played the Italian, which, if you want to like play it super safe, you can play the four knights. You can force a draw if you want, but the Italian shows I want to fight. Not that I want to go crazy, but I want to fight. And so we quickly saw some main line of the Italian: bishop c5, c3, knight f6, d3. And a5, which I think Arjun is capable of doing anything, but maybe he doesn't so often go for a5 lines. But he knew the line very well. So castle,
d6. D6,
yeah.
rook e1,
mm-hmm. Castle, knight d2. Yeah, this is very mainline theory. I mean, black, as I've said in the past, black can do any move in the Italian. Mm-hmm. That's the difficulty for white. Instead of bishop b6, you can go a4. I've done that many times. You can go bishop to a7. That's very popular. For just dropping the bishop back so you don't get hit with d4 in the future. You can go bishop to b6. Also kind of popular to play bishop b6. I think Hikaru does this stuff. You can play h6. You can basically do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Arjun played bishop b6, which is also a good move. And bishop b5, that's the standard reaction. This is kind of the modern wisdom of the Italian is that you don't want this traded bishops. You want to keep it so that after you achieve d4 later, the bishop drops back to either d3 or f1, tries to support the center. And now bishop to a7. And this is a very modern approach. I think like in the past, black usually played a6 lines, and then bishop a7 looks very normal. But to play a5, bishop a7 looks like maybe the bishop more belongs on b6 because on a7 doesn't keep contact with the a5 pawn, something like that. So anyway, this is a very modern line. Everyone's played it these days in general, these a5 lines.
What's the idea of combining a5 with bishop a7? What's the idea behind it?
To be honest, I'm not sure.
Oh, I didn't see you there. You might be wondering, what am I doing here? Well, I'm getting my reps in.
You know, one of the most common questions I get is, how do you actually learn a new opening? Honestly, the best way, hands down, is by using chessreps.com. They've got these super fun, interactive opening courses that actually work. This isn't one of those chess courses you watch once and forget. These are fully interactive courses. You're not passively listening. You're actively playing the moves, getting quizzed on variations, and building that crucial muscle memory. It feels more like a game than studying. Hundreds of thousands of players have already used chessreps.com to break through plateaus and hit their highest ever ELO. And here's the cool part. They actually want you to see how powerful this is for yourself. Right now, you can take their entire Vienna Gambit and Stafford Gambit courses completely free. You don't even have to sign up. Just head over to chessreps.com and start learning. Right now, they have 25 courses for you, and they release a new one every single week. Seriously, this is the best way to learn openings. Go try it out at chessreps.com.
I'm not sure I can explain ideas. It's really hard to say. I mean, the Italian is just too confusing. This modern theory of the Italian, I don't know. I mean, the idea of bishop a7 is to avoid d4.
Right.
You could also put it on b6 and provoke knight c4 in many cases. Why a5 instead of a6? Well, usually it's because if you play a6, then white often will take on e6 after that trade and then play b4. Like if you go all the way back, I don't know, just play some random moves like,
sure.
A6. Castle, d6. I don't know. Rook e1. Sure. Any move order. a4, bishop a7, knight d2, h6, h3. I probably the move order was wrong because there's some knight g4, but let's say whatever you, and then black plays bishop e6, white takes and plays b4, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so black avoids the stuff with playing a5. Like, with the pawn in a5, you don't get space on the queen side, so it's considered... I mean, this is fine for black. It's also a lie. But with the pawn in a5, it's considered even safer for black because white doesn't get any space. Sometimes the idea of a5 is to just play a4, and sometimes put the pawn in a3. That's also a modern line that I've played a lot. Like, Gukesh,
I remember the idea with a4, queen b8, queen a7.
Yeah, that's also
one
line. Like bishop,
that's one of
bishop
the lines
b6,
as well.
Bishop b6, bishop b5. And then I think like sometimes h6, h3 is included.
Yeah.
And then queen b8 here. Yeah, this is like Ding Liren's favorite line for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also huge, huge theory and so on and so forth. Like there's lines here, d4, ed4, bishop c6, dc3. Oh, wait, no, sorry, it doesn't go like this. No, sorry, it's knight f1, queen a7, d4, ed4, bishop c6, dc3, so on and so forth, whatever.
Some insane lines, yeah.
Yeah, some game like Alexienko, Ding Liren, I think, from some World Cup. I mean, it's a lot of old theory here. Instead of queen b8, there's also like knight e7, bishop b6, there's knight d7 that was popular. I don't know.
It seems like black can play absolutely every single move almost.
Yeah, that's kind of the difficulty with white. Basically, black can do anything and it's all fine. Black chooses one line and white has to be ready for like 20 lines. So anyway, bishop a7. I don't think I actually explained the ideas, but maybe give some small idea of the state of theory.
I kind of understand what you meant because obviously it's very similar to bishop b6, but in this case, you don't get hit with knight to c4, just to keep it simple. Obviously, I'm sure there's other details attached to it, but just to keep it simple,
another
nice
line. For example,
the bishop.
Yeah, that's a good point. But for example, instead of bishop a7, h6, h3, and now bishop to b6, knight c4, bishop c5 is a line.
Yes.
and then knight e3.
Yeah.
Bishop B6.
You go Bishop B6 again.
And then I can play Knight F1. So you can get this from any move order you want. I mean, there's... obviously it's some kind of confusing stuff, which is why people are attracted to it from white, because you can't really, like, you can easily get confused with black and misplay it. Yeah. But on the other hand, with white, you can also get confused and get no advantage, or even sometimes get slightly worse.
Yeah.
So anyway, bishop to A7. And here I think a move which looks innocuous, knight to F1, but maybe was a start of things going a bit wrong, because H3 is kind of the main theoretical move.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played this against Hans once, knight E7, D4, knight G6, bishop to D3,
mm-hmm.
knight H5, knight F1, or yeah, knight H4, bishop C2. I forget, there's a C6 here, queen said. I played something here against Hans. And maybe ED4 is also, to be honest, easy to forget the theory in this position. But this is another major direction. After knight F1, because black delayed H6, then maybe this is an extra option for white. But actually, Arjun just knew the line very well. He played knight E7, D4, knight g6, knight g3, c6, bishop f1. I mean, we can, of course, discuss all these moves, but they're all kind of natural. And then he here played very quickly bishop g4, which looks maybe a bit weird. Like, you played bishop b6, now you play bishop g4, and then after bishop b3, what's your point, right?
Right.
Like, you pin the knight, but I'm going to play bishop b3, and then I'm going to play h3. So what was your point? And now he took d5, e5, and knight to e8, which is very unusual looking. Usually the knight goes to e4. Here goes to e8. But it's just what the computer shows, and it's just very good for black. It's just a very good solution. And if h3, you take an f6. Your point is basically I provoked e5, and now I play f6, and then I count. Yeah, there's some theory. Queen h5, take, whatever. Bishop e3, rook e3. But, you know, with white, you're a bit scared of the structure, because black has the really nice-looking queenside majority, the open f-file. And unless white gets f4, which looks very unlikely to get f4 at this point because it's so well-defended, you kind of feel like white is easily getting worse. You can imagine black gets the knight c7, e6 at some point, and then takes control of the f4 square. e5 is actually a weakness.
Yeah, no, this is very dangerous.
With white, it feels like you don't want to go for this unless you actually know that it's okay.
Yeah.
And completely if white doesn't go for this, white is actually already a bit worse. So the opening just didn't go.
This was a great practical choice by Arjun and very good preparation, you would say.
I would say it was very good preparation. You can look at it as practical preparation. You can look at it as objective, because it's kind of both. It's both good and annoying for white. So it just ticks all the boxes. Arjun just knew the line really well. It was impressive preparation, and he got rewarded with a slightly better position. Like, just look at a few moves.
So he played bishop e2.
Yeah.
Levon.
Just to avoid the queen coming to f3 and getting hit with some f6 and the rook targeting that queen. But now black is achieving f6 very easily. And now he took. And queen b3, which, I mean, I don't know if you can criticize white's play, because white is not really better and black's play is easier. And now Arjun, he made a really nice move here. It's not obvious to give up the bishop pair, but here the point is that you don't want to get hit with knight e5 at some point. White has this idea to play knight e5 in various variations. So if you play queen e7, there's like knight e5, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So first you just get rid of the knight. It's actually, the bishop pair doesn't matter. It's the knight coming to e5. And the pawn on d4 is a weakness, because the knight can attack the pawn, the light-squared bishop cannot defend it. So although it's not currently being threatened, it is a long-term weakness. And now he plays queen d7. And it's all very harmonious for black. You're going to play, you have ideas on knight h4. You have ideas, for example, rook f7, rook f8 to double. White doesn't have targets. There's no weakness in black's position. b7 is safely defended. d5 is like super, super secure. You cannot target that pawn chain. It's just a really nice pawn chain. The pawn structure is superior for black. the Bishop 1F3 is kind of just looks a bit dumb. I mean, just hitting all these light square pawns that are too well defended.
Yep.
So after Queen D7, Black is both slightly better objectively, and also I think practically there is quite significant strategic risk. Just long term, you can imagine the D4 pawn just being too much of a weakness.
The pressure has definitely shifted after the opening phase. Like, sure, you feel the pressure as Black, but right now it seems like it's Black who has all the ideas in the position, the pressure, the dynamic play coming up with all the ideas that you just mentioned. And it's very difficult for White to counter that.
Yeah, and also practically, White's king is a bit vulnerable. Black is going to play Bishop B8, Knight H4, Knight G4. Just the pieces are kind of, the threats are on Black's side. Because of the open F file.
Yeah.
And so it's just practically easier to play for Black. So, okay, Rook AD1.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Securing the pawn over protection, as they say. H6.
Names of it.
Okay, engine doesn't really like this move so much. Prefers Rook F7. Maybe Rook F7 was a bit better. H6, Bishop to E2. Nice regrouping. This is now no longer worse for White. Rook A to E8, Bishop to D3, Knight to H4. The knight is very secure there. Can't get attacked. It targets the G2 square. Can't get attacked.
Yeah, so, you can never play G3. I mean, that would open possibilities for Knight F3 ideas. Yeah, your light squares are busted.
You can't really get rid of this knight, so it's just an annoyance factor. Like, the threats are on Black's side. So although, because of H6, the position became equal, It was a kind of minor mistake. I'd still rather take Black here. Mm-hmm. I mean, Levon finds a good move F3 with the tactical point that if Rook takes E3, Rook E3, Bishop D4, there's Bishop H7. Nice little tactic to ensure that the bishop can drop back to F2 and there's no Knight G4 stuff. And okay, it's an important little move to equalize.
I like it.
Knight H7. The knight's coming to G5, potentially some threats against White's king. Looks very annoying. Knight G5, Knight F3 threats. Bishop D1, B1. Good move. Preparing potentially Queen to D3. Knight to G5. Which is setting up some, it looks like Knight takes F3 threats.
Mm-hmm.
And Queen C2. Actually turns out to be already a decisive mistake. So it shows the danger. I think the correct move here was F4. Which is provoking some knight F3 stuff, which obviously looks very scary.
It's such a tough move to make, right?
Yeah. You knight F3, take, king G2, knight E1, rook E1, bishop D4, and queen to D3. And then I think objectively it's a draw. Obviously, it's a complicated position.
Some sort of a perpetual, potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe something like this.
I mean, there's some long line. Where White plays Queen H7, Bishop G6, King F6, Knight H5, King E6, Bishop F5. Obviously, none of this stuff is possible to calculate all the way.
Yeah,
but you can perhaps think that like Queen takes E3 is not so bad, which I think is true. Instead of Queen H7.
Yeah,
like you can just take the bishop back, and it's probably okay for White. I mean, it's not maybe not easy to evaluate, but you have pretty good minor pieces, so you should be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, F4 was the correct move, but Queen to C2. And it looks super natural. You threaten Bishop G5 and Queen H7. That's a huge threat. But actually, there's a shocking win for Black here. Knight G takes F3. GF3. And now if you take with the knight, you lose with Black. But if you take with the rook, you win.
You make space for your king on F8. Is that it? Is that the idea behind it?
Well, you don't go to F8. You go to F7. Queen H7, King F7.
And there's nothing. Actually, There's no nothing checks. To do for
the knight on h4
white.
Is the knight on h4 both defends and attacks, and you can't take on h6 because I have this kind of mating. Take bishop d4, king h1, and no checks, nothing. Queen h3. There's not a single threat.
G7 is protected. G6 is protected. There's nothing to do.
Yeah,
that's nice.
The truth is that the knight on h4 just defends everything, and after rook takes f3
for white.
It's not not game over. White can still fight on, but objectively, black is winning after rook takes f3.
Yeah.
I think it's really tough to fight this.
It is tough.
Both tough to consider it, and even after you consider it, it's tough to play it. So Arjun played g6, which is a mistake, of course, because it does turn a win into, again, objectively an equal position. But it's hard to criticize. To start with, it's very safe. You don't really risk anything because the knight on h4 just covers everything so well, and you can never get rid of that knight. Even if you play like knight f1, bishop f2, the knight can always go to f5, so you just can't get rid of the knight. And also tactically, there's probably going to be knight takes f3 stuff. But now after king h1, black is no longer better, and kh1 was played, and there's no longer tactics because there's no checks, there's nothing on f3. Queen to f7. Queen to f2. Everything that Levon is doing is now fine. Bishop to b8. Knight to f1. I mean, I think maybe knight to f1 is not the most accurate. But yeah, it's probably not such a bad move either. But it does allow knight to f5. So it's kind of natural to play knight f1 because you attack h4, you force black's hand. You get rid of that knight, which was annoying, but perhaps you should play something like bishop c1 instead. Knight to f1 anyway was played, knight to f5, so the king is now safe, and bishop d2 is played, and I think that Levon basically, there was this moment of it would look dangerous, but now he probably felt like it's a roughly equal position.
You think he relaxed for a second?
I wouldn't say relaxed, but I think that he felt, maybe knight f1 was a bit of relaxation.
Felt some relief, perhaps.
I'm sure that he felt some relief in the position because it looked certainly more dangerous a few moves ago. Bishop c7, the play is now slowed down. Black just defends the pawn. There's no threats on either side, really. It is still very tense, but it's not tense in a way where anything is immediately happening. Knight to e3 was played. I think actually maybe white had some better options, like actually getting rid of the bishop, I think maybe was a good decision. Bishop takes f5. Not an easy decision because the bishop doesn't look bad, but a few moves later it starts to look pretty bad, so maybe you should have gotten rid of it in hindsight. But knight to e3 was played, can't really criticize it either so much. Take. And king to g7. And I do feel like this position is easier to play for black, just because in some endgames you could imagine d4 getting weak. But you can't really imagine endgames ever being risky for black.
Yeah.
And now, a huge mistake. This is where things start to go wrong. Because if he had played some move like rook to e2, I guess it's about equal. I mean... And rook to e2, to be honest, I think it's a very natural move as well.
Somewhat of a natural move, yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, I think he wants to avoid bishop f4, and that's why he played queen f1. But bishop f4 is not the end of the world. Bishop f4, rook d1, trade everything. And of course, there's this kind of strategic danger with the d4 pawn. But black can't really utilize it so easily. So, and of course, the g6 is also weak, as long as the queen stay on the board. Like, if black is able to trade rooks and queens and play knight e6, the pawn on d4 just drops out. But black doesn't seem to manage that. And the truth is that it is just an equal position. So,
yeah.
After queen f1, it's both not very good in terms of it's too slow, but also tactically. It allows a tactic that I don't think either player considered, because if either player had considered it, they would have... I mean, it once you consider it, you play it. The move is bishop takes h2. And basically, this move is twofold. And one part is super easy. The one part is king h2, rook e3, rook e3, queen f4, and just win the game. Just up a pawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's an easy tactic. But the question after bishop h2 is bishop g5. And you might just stop here. But if you consider that after bishop g5, you play bishop g3, I think you figure out pretty quickly that white just gets mated on the h file. For example, rook e8, and I don't know, bishop d2, because you have to, if you don't if you don't save your bishop, then like the bishop on g3 can't be bothered. So black just takes and then plays rook h8 and gg.
Yeah.
So bishop d2 is the only move to consider, and then just queen f6 and that's it. It's mate. Queen h4, it's like mate in 3 or whatever.
No way to defend against it. Yeah.
Yeah. So bishop h2, actually kind of a simple tactic. If you like, if I told you black wins, I'm pretty sure any strong player just quickly bishop
you'll
h2.
Find
okay.
It. Yeah. Yeah. You'll find
bishop
it.
g5, bishop g3, and it's straightforward calculation. The only way to miss it is just not to consider that bishop h2, bishop g5 is a thing at all.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So after queen f1, Arjun played rook to e6, missing the moment.
And he did spend only about a minute and a half. So I would say, I would add to that, it's probably one of those instances, even if he did see it, which I don't know exactly whether he said he saw bishop takes h2 or not. But even if you see it, perhaps you just simply trust your opponent. You see it for a second, you see bishop g5, you move on and you try to play a normal move to kind of stay ahead on the clock as well.
Yeah, I think there's two scenarios. One is that you just don't consider bishop h2 at all because you don't see the tactic of rook e3. And the other one is you say bishop h2, bishop g5 and don't really spend another second thinking about it.
Yeah.
It is a bad mistake from both of them.
Yeah.
Because after queen f1, definitely a move I consider is rook takes e3. Rook e3, mm-hmm. queen f4, right? I mean, mm-hmm. there's queen g1, there's rook e7, so it doesn't work out at all. But I definitely consider this at least for a second because I do see h2, rook e3, like things are hanging a bit.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, I do think that bishop h2, at least as a candidate move, should cross your mind. And then after bishop g5, the question is, do you immediately reject it or do you consider your calculation? It's one more move of resistance.
You should definitely, keep going with it. And bishop g3 is somewhat important because it also takes away this h4 square from the bishop. So bishop h4,
g3. It's hugely important.
Yes.
But the bishop on g3 is untouchable, cannot be bothered by any of white's pieces, ever.
Yeah.
So basically, after bishop g3, there's no more calculation. And I do think that this is a moment that should have been found by both players, but... it happens a lot that your opponent makes a move and you don't really think I'm winning. If you ever think I'm winning, then you find it. But it's hard to even get that thought in your head, I'm winning now. Or maybe I'm winning. At least that thought, like, oh, maybe I can win this. But it just has to come to your mind. And we call this kind of sharpness in some sense. Arjun did miss this moment. But the good news for him is that the position is still pretty promising after the move he played rook e6. It's just I'm winning. But it is pretty promising.
Yeah.
Bishop to g1, which looks very natural. It does look like white is totally defending everything, but after rook e8 and the trade on e6, and by the way, Arjun found a good move here, rook e6, because I think knight e6 is also pretty natural, but rook e6 is actually much better, because after knight e6, for example, I have this move like g3, and then knight g5, like now my king side is a bit safer, I think. And maybe it's still unpleasant, but I can play like f4, king g2, and I don't know. At least I don't have to worry about the dark squares so much.
Yeah.
Or I can play maybe rook e1 after knight e6. But rook e6 is really, really important. And one of the crucial details is that after rook e1, I can take a knight f3. So
that's
very important that you cannot trade rooks. Because if you could trade rooks, at least you get a little bit of the pressure off the position. But you can't trade those rooks. And now here, Levon had to find a tough defense, which is to play queen d3, and then follow it up with bishop f2. You don't want to play bishop f2 immediately, because knight f3 is strong. I mean, kind of, actually not the most easy calculation, but it is possible to calculate that knight f3 is strong. So you play queen d3 first, and then next you play bishop f2, which means that you get rid of h4 ideas. So for example, h5, bishop f2, you get rid of h4, and also you get rid of queen f4, because now there's bishop g3. So this formation is relatively solid. I would still say unpleasant for white, but relatively solid. So he actually had to kind of lock in at this moment and find a tough defense, because the position is really, really unpleasant. But he played one quiet move after a3, and after h5, it's critically dangerous. because H5 is coming.
You're just not in time.
Yeah, you can't play bishop f2. Bishop f2, knight f3, and I'll just show the line because we said, okay, it's not so easy. But take king g1. I actually think the players probably did see this. Bishop h2, king h2, rook e2, king g1, only move. Take. Queen f1, otherwise you lose your bishop, and then queen d4, and then queen
b2.
That's
a lot of pawns.
And I've actually collected five pawns. Five of your pawns, which I guess still takes a bit of technique to win,
Not queen f2. I guess this endgame is just losing after queen takes f2, or why not queen f2 to defend the pawn on b2?
Yeah, I guess it's just four pawns,
yeah,
and
just,
king f6 and g5, h4, king e5, and...
This is just completely winning.
The issue is that the bishop can't attack the pawns, so
yeah.
Eventually you get stretched too thin in this position with pawns on advancing on both sides.
Yeah.
So, okay, after h5, you can't stop h4. And if black gets h4, h3, then f3 falls. And things actually start to fall apart here. I'm not sure. Maybe it's not objectively lost, but it's pretty close to being desperate and maybe like borderline losing already. So a3 was, you could say, practically speaking, perhaps a decisive mistake. After h5, queen f2, queen to f4 came. He could actually play h4 as well. Because there's this tactic again with knight takes f3. But his move queen f4 also prepares h4 and is equally good. And here, Levon was under enormous pressure, and the game lasted one more move. So Levon played rook d1. Now, if he had played rook to f1, h4, and now if he had tried to like just sit still, bishop c2 and just wait, I'm not sure it's losing. Probably you can defend this if you play like an engine. I would not envy the task of defending this, but there's still a lot of work to do for black to actually win this position because h3 is met by g3. And even there, it's still not very pleasant, but okay, at least you avoid losing the f3 pawn. But it said Levon played after queen to f4, rook to e1. And his idea was that after take knight f3, I have queen to e7, I think. Is that correct?
Queen 7, king h6, bishop to e3. So that's a problem.
Yeah, bishop e3 and game over. So that was his point. And now after rook d1, maybe our viewers can pause the video, think for 2 minutes. Arjun saw this move immediately. It was already on his radar. Like after rook e1, he basically just immediately put his hand in the air to play his next move. So you can pause the video, think about how to win in one move, and advance to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And the move is knight to h3.
Boom.
It's the same idea as take on e1 and knight f3, but this time there's no queen e7 check. And there's like two basically variations to calculate here, which once you see knight h3, which Levon obviously did not see it, you pretty quickly calculate the variations. One is g takes h3, rook e1. Queen e1, otherwise you're down a rook, and queen f3 mate.
Yeah, that's the easy
one. We were already familiar with that one. The other one is queen to f1, because otherwise the queen is hanging. Where do you move it? Knight takes g1. Mate on h2 is threatened, so queen g1 is the only reasonable move. Rook to e1, queen d1, and queen h2 mate. So the variations are actually pretty straightforward. And after knight h3, Levon paused for a little bit of time. Of course, he immediately saw it's game over. But the move itself just didn't come to mind to him before it was played. So knight to h3, he paused for a little bit of time and resigned the game. And obviously that was a heartbreaking finish for Levon because he was, of course, one of the guys who... He's won the World Cup twice before. I said that he's the only one to do it in history, but then I saw some people commenting that Vishy Anand has done it too. But I think that when Vishy did it, it was called the FIDE World Championship. So that's why I consider it different things. Anyway, if you want to consider it different or the same, there's basically almost nobody in history who's won it twice. Levon is one of them. And this was his final match in this year's World Cup.
Very, very difficult, obviously, to go out with the white pieces, losing with the white pieces. But this is just the nature of the game. And to be honest, it's a combination of... just Arjun getting great preparation on the board, This idea of bishop to g4, I think, was very instructive. And just giving up, it looks at the beginning for not much, giving up the bishop pair. But in fact, you get this beautiful structure and you get practical chances, which I think it's quite important, especially at this stage of the event, especially with so many nerves involved as well. And perhaps a little bit of a nervous situation for Levon with a difficult task to defend a3, slow, and then obviously allowing this beautiful sacrifice in the end to finish the game. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful masterpiece by Arjun to go to the quarters. And beautiful masterclass, Fabi. Thank you once again for showing us so many interesting ideas and kind of explaining and making it very clear as well for everybody to understand the ins and outs of the opening phase, the middle game, and obviously the execution. So once again, another great masterclass. Thanks, Fabi. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Don't forget, like, subscribe, and tell everybody that you know we're the best place to learn deep ideas in chess is. And I do believe that this masterclass is the place to be. So thank you once again for watching, and see you in the next one. Cheers.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.